Why don't you turn in your Bible to Revelation, the 21st chapter. I'll begin reading in verse 1. As I'm reading, would you listen for the word of God? The Apostle John writes, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne say, 'Look, God's dwelling is here with humankind. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples. God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. There will be no mourning, crying, or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.' And then the one seated on the throne said, 'Look, I'm making all things new.' He also said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' And then he said to me, 'All is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will freely give water from the life-giving spring. Those who emerge victorious will inherit these things. I will give their God. I will be their God, and they will be my sons and daughters.'" Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Praise be to God. Would you pray with me? God, please search our hearts and the secret desires therein, so that if there be within us any harm, you can deliver us. May the words of my lips and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our blessed Redeemer. Amen. I'm Chris Neen. I'm the senior pastor of Resurrection United Methodist Church. For the next 5 weeks, we're going to have, a really fun summer series looking at playlists, and we're going to be looking at different types of music, country music, hip-hop, classics, way back. Always looking for some type of spiritual message that we can draw out of the lyrics. If you reach into your bulletin, you can find the GPS, the Grow, Pray, and Study Guide. As we're honoring our graduates, it's good to be reminded that we're all lifelong learners of God's Word. And so I hope that you've developed the practice of reading Scripture and applying it to your life on a daily basis. That's the best thing you can do to grow as a follower of Christ. So our first song that we're going to be looking at is Million Reasons, which, if you don't know that you've heard it, you've heard it. The person that wrote it and performs it is Lady Gaga. That isn't her given name. I know you're surprised to hear that. It's Stephanie, Joanne, Angeline, Germanata. She might be an Italian from New York City. She's 33 years old. She's sold 27 million albums, 146 million singles. Time magazine said she's one of the 10 most influential people of the last 10 years because so many people hear her music. I remember when I first heard about Lady Gaga, I didn't know anything really about her. I knew that my kids were listening to her, and I knew that she had worn a meat dress to an awards ceremony. And so I looked that up, and I thought, I would be worried about bugs myself, but she's an artist. But there's a genuine human being behind the performer. There's a great documentary on Netflix about her, and if you ever watch it, you get to meet her family and hear about her growing up, which wasn't always that easy, and it kind of helps you understand. She really relates to misfits, and a large group of people who support her and her followers share that same sort of empathy for people that have a difficult time fitting in. And part of that is from her own experience growing up and being sort of, in her own words, a pudgy girl in a very competitive high school and environment. Her dad was meat and potatoes, really an Italian meatball and pasta kind of guy. There were supposed to be meatballs on the table every night. And she can remember complaining as a kid and saying, "Look at us, we're all just getting fatter and fatter. Why do we have to eat this food?" And he said, "Just be quiet and eat your meatball." I mean, it was just kind of that growing up. But she remembers in high school, some boys played a prank on her and outside the school threw her in a trash can while all the kids were coming out. And everybody was laughing and looking down at her. And she said, "I was kind of nervously gigging, like, this is really humiliating and I don't know what to do." And some girl went up to her and said, "You look like you're going to cry. You're pathetic." And this is where a lot of her empathy comes from for people that have a difficult time fitting in and feel alone and left out. So when you read her lyrics, you begin to understand there's a real depth to what she's trying to say to us as an artist. And in the song, the history behind A Million Reasons, she's very versatile, and she was going through kind of a country theme at one point. She was down in Nashville, and she was writing songs with a prolific Nashville writer, Hillary Lindsay. And so Lady Gaga was on the piano, and Hillary Lindsay was on the guitar, and they were just, as Lady Gaga describes, doing girl talk, and as without any men around, typically the conversation turned to men, and ultimately kind of how sometimes we can be real dogs. So they were just saying, you know, sometimes the men in our life, they give us a million reasons to want to just run away from them. And if they would just give us one good reason to want to stick around. And so that was the kernel of the song that began to develop into really a much broader theme of how that happens in all of our relationships between women, between men, with our children, their grandchildren, at work. Sometimes people, we feel like they're just giving us a million reasons to just push us away, to get away, and we just want to get away from them. So when you listen to this song, in verse 1, she says, "You're giving me a million reasons to let go." And it's a reference to a relationship that hasn't been working for a long time, and it's just continuing to deteriorate. She also says in verse 1, "If I had a highway, I would run for the hills." Meaning, if I had a quick way out of this, I've really gotten to the point where I just don't know how much more I can bear. In verse 2, she said, "My head is stuck in a cycle. I look off and I stare." She's just talking about the emotional toil, the emptiness that she feels because this relationship has been such a drain and her mind is just in a cycle of pain. In verse 2, she said, "If I had something that you, if you said something that you might even mean, I'd have a, it's hard to even fathom which part I could believe." Because there's been so much dishonesty in the relationship, even if he were to sit down and say, "I really want to make this right," she didn't know if she could trust what he was saying. The chorus is the part that I want you to notice in particular. When she sings the chorus, she's talking about, "I kneel down to pray, and I ask God to please show me the way." Who hasn't been in that place? A place where you just don't know what to do with this relationship anymore. You just feel tapped out. And I think anybody, any human being can connect into that phrase. Now, the clip that we're going to show you of her singing the song shows how the meaning of this song started just talking about men and women's lives, but it's broadened out to much more than that in her mind and mine as well. Give your attention to the screen.
It's about pain. And sometimes life gives us a million reasons to want to give up, but we stick around.
I'd run for the hills. If you could find a dry way, I'd forever be still. But you're giving me a million reasons, giving me a million reasons, giving me a million reasons, about a million reasons. When I'm all down to pray, I try to make the worst seem better.
So we're going to come out and help these kids when they're suffering from PTSD.
I got my head stuck in a cycle. I look off and I stare. It's like that I've stopped breathing, but completely aware. Cause you've given me a million reasons. Given me a million reasons. Given me a million reasons. About a million reasons. And if you say something that you might even mean, it's hard to even fathom which parts I should believe. Cause you've given me a million reasons. Give me a million reasons. Given me a million. When I'm all down to pray, I try to make the worst seem better. Lord, show me the way to cut through all his worn out leather. I've got 100 million reasons to walk away, but baby, I just need one good one to stay. I just need one good one, good one.
I see a lot of good reasons to stay in this room. That's right. Come on.
When I bow down to pray, I try to make the world seem better. Lord, show me the way to cut through all this worn out leather. I've got 100 million reasons to walk away. But baby, I just need one good one. Tell me that you'll be the good one. And why don't you stay? Stay.
Thank you.
So did you notice her comments in between where she said, we want to give hope to these young people that are struggling with PTSD. They're struggling with depression. They're just struggling. And it reminded me, I picked this clip because you and I enter into scripture, we enter into poetry, we enter into a song out of our own context and what's going on in our life. And I hear this song differently now because of the context of our town and what happened during this past week and a young man that was supposed to graduate and took his own life and just the sadness of that. And what reason would we be able to give to hang in there, to have hope? And one of the things that I've learned as a Navy chaplain has to teach on suicide is there's no magic phrase for any of us. It makes me sad. The event makes me mad. I feel bad for him. I feel bad for his family. I feel bad for those young people that are graduating. That we should just be celebrating them right now. What's the hope that we offer one another? What's the hope that we offer to the people around us? That one reason. And I thought of this verse. It's one of my favorite promises, maybe my favorite promise in the Bible, in Revelation, the 21st chapter. And the Apostle John is recording down what God is telling him in this revelation, this amazing revelation that he's having. And it's God that's actually seated on the throne at this moment. So it's God that's speaking to John. And God says, behold, I am making all things new. I am in the mess with you. You are not alone in this. I can't stop everything. We have this free will. It is a fallen world. There are things that go wrong. Depression is a real thing. But in the midst of it, in the midst of our pain, I am there and I am working. And this ties in with Pentecost. It ties in with the Christ event. That I've come, I've revealed myself, my heart for you. I've poured out my spirit. It's intended to give you hope for another day. When you just feel like you can't make one more step on your own. That God can help us. That somehow God's going to take this mess and make something good out of it. This is so incredibly personal for me. I'm sure it is for you too. And all the rough things, the bad things that have happened to you. This is part of the triumphant spirit of Christ in us. I was reading a meditation from Hazelden. And Simone Weil writes this, joy fixes us to eternity. Pain fixes us to time. But desire and fear, they hold us in bondage to time. In detachment, it breaks the bond. In some way, I think we're all involved in pain management here on earth. And what it means to have a spiritual life is even in the midst of the pain struggle that we have, to transcend that and experience some joy. To be able to see, just for a moment, to take a pause from the pain cycle and see the beauty that's around us. You can imagine that quote is for people that have been struggling with the horror of their own addiction and just in an endless loop of pain. And how the importance of having a higher power for us through Jesus Christ is the key to breaking out of the cycle. And for parents of somebody that's addicted. for grandparents, for friends, to realize that as painful as this is, God also has a plan for us to experience some joy and some peace and some happiness, even in the midst of this. Otherwise, we just live codependently stuck in bondage to time. And we can't transcend and experience some of the joy of eternity that God has for us right now. Maybe that's too deep, but I think that's an important concept here. When we're talking about the presence of the Holy Spirit here with us now to help us today, June 9th, enjoy just this moment in church. And the hope that we have right now, that maybe somehow God can take this bucket of you know what and grow something good out of it. A couple weeks ago, I had a reason to go up to my hometown. You probably experienced that going home. Or maybe you've had the feeling of, you know, opening a yearbook and looking at old pictures. And you realize how things have changed. Or eroded, gotten older, disintegrated. I'm driving into town and I can remember the friendly little Green Gun Club that's gone now. That's a Burger King. And the school that's all boarded up. And a friend of mine called and said, remember this young woman when we were in school? She was a cheerleader and big personality, a lot of fun. She's down in Arizona, and they did surgery, and they opened her up, and there's so much cancer everywhere, they just closed her up. Or the young guy that was unfairly, the halfback on our football team that was just unfairly handsome and just great athlete, had the world by the tail, and he's buried a few miles from here. And if I, like you, had the power, I'd like to reverse all that. I'd like to go back last week, and if I had the ability to just say at that moment, good grief, let's just get through this moment. There's other moments. But I don't have that power. What I do have is the promise of a reliable God. John is saying to us who have aligned ourselves with the will of God as best we can, however flawed that alignment is, don't give up. It's not over. God has said in this text, he who was created on the throne said, I am making everything new. And then God said, write this down. For these words are trustworthy and true. There's ever a scripture like a little candy that you just want to suck on all week long. Think about that. Amen. In the dark, you should know you're beautiful.